104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone. Good to have you along this morning with Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop. I'm Kevin Ingram, my producer Morgan Alexander. About 15 minutes, Brian Billick's going to join us from the NFL Network. Right now, let's head to Jacksonville. Ryan Green of 1010XL covers the Jags. Ryan, what's going on this morning?
Guys, good morning. How are you?
We're good. We're good. Looking forward to the game tonight. 7:20 here on The Zone, by the way, for the Titans and Jags. How much do you think this Jacksonville team sort of relishes the role of being the spoiler for these playoff chances the Titans might have?
It's certainly not where they thought they'd be at the beginning of the year. It's been a hugely disappointing season here in Jacksonville. But, yeah, I do think they kind of relish the spoiler opportunity. They had that last week against Indianapolis. The defense played their best game of the year, shutting out Andrew Luck and the Colts, who were very hot coming in to Jacksonville, gave the Colts a severe blow to their playoff hopes. And certainly the talk down here in Jacksonville is they'd love to repay the Titans for some heartbreak Tennessee has caused the Jaguars over the past few years.
Given the personalities involved for this Jags team, was this season one that was going to either go really well or really badly, as we've seen?
Yeah, I don't know if there was a whole lot of gray area. The expectation coming in was Super Bowl for the Jaguars. I mean, they were 5 minutes from it last year, losing in the fashion they did at Gillette Stadium in the AFC Championship game. And the Jaguars started out 3-1. I mean, they lost to Tennessee, as you guys know, in week three, but they won their other three games in the month of September. Things were going great, and then just the plane went off the cliff in Kansas City, and they lost 7 in a row, have been just decimated by injuries to the point where they're actually starting two offensive linemen tonight that played against them in week one. Both Patrick Omame and Eric Flowers were starting linemen for the Giants opening day. They're now on the left side of the Jaguar offensive line tonight.
The offense didn't exactly light it up against the Colts, but how do you think the players actually view the quarterback change?
I think they were ready for a change. The city is ready for a change, and now I think for the first time the organization is ready for a change. I've said many times, guys, that I never thought Blake Bortles was as bad as people made him out to be. But with his play this year, he just lost confidence in himself. More importantly, the team lost confidence in him. And barring injury to Kessler the next four games, I think Blake Bortles has started his final game in a Jaguar uniform.
Our guest is Ryan Green from 1010XL down in Jacksonville.
Ryan, I guess for me it starts with leadership. And who are the leaders on the team? Because if you have strong leadership, typically – you know, with that kind of talent, the season doesn't go down a drain so quickly like this.
Yeah, as you know very well, obviously, leadership is a big, big deal in the NFL. And I think there was one guy that was on the team last year that's not on the team this year that made a big impact, and that was Paul Posluszny. Paul Posluszny wasn't the fastest guy. He wasn't the best defensive player last year, but he was the heart and soul of that defense. He got everybody lined up properly. When people had issues in the locker room, problems in the locker room, they went to Paul Posluszny. He retired after a great NFL career following the 2017 season. And I don't think the Jaguars ever really replaced that leadership, both on the field and in the locker room. Now, Calais Campbell is a great leader. Mm-hmm. You got guys like Barry Church, who I thought was a great leader up until the last couple weeks, and he has subsequently been benched. But there are veterans on this team, but guys, I never truly believe they replaced Paul Posluszny, and I think that's been a big void on that Jaguar defense.
What has been the talk, I guess, where the blame lies, whether it's with the management and Coughlin or the head coach Doug Marrone, or is it all falling really on Blake Bortles? Where are what are you guys talking about down there that says that this is actually the reason? Because they're in cap issues after this season, so it's going to be a lot of new players next year.
Yeah, they got all kinds of problems. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, has been fired. I thought that was a Band-Aid. You bench Blake Bortles after extending him last offseason. That looks terrible. Now they're going to have to eat a big chunk of salary in the offseason with the Blake situation, because I have serious doubts as to whether he's even on the roster next year. Blame has been all over the place. Doug Marrone, the head coach, has gotten a little bit. Dave Caldwell, the GM, has gotten a little bit. Todd Walsh, the defensive coordinator, got a little bit until last week. I'm telling you guys, the defense last week looked like the Jaguar defense last year. That's the only thing that's given Jaguar fans a little bit of hope going into tonight, is that defense against Andrew Luck last week was just unbelievably good. Offensively, the Jaguars did nothing and still won the game, which is very similar to what happened a year ago. But to answer your question, there's blame all over the place, but clearly the guys it's most prevalent with, Blake Bortles, Dave Caldwell, and obviously Nathaniel Hackett, who's already lost his job.
Do the Jags have enough, I guess, in the tank to win tonight, you think?
Defensively, absolutely. Offensively, I made this comment on my show yesterday. You would think this is the fourth preseason game if you look at the starting lineup. Cody Kessler is your quarterback. Three offensive linemen that are starting tonight for Jacksonville. Two were not on the team 2 months ago. The other is the backup center, Tyler Shadley. They've lost three offensive linemen, season-ending injuries. Your top three tight ends are out. It is truly a decimated football team. Ironically, they get Leonard Fournette back tonight after his one-game suspension, so he'll probably be fresh. The problem is he has really no offensive line in front of him. So, yeah, the Jaguars are limping to the finish line here. People in Jacksonville are just kind of excited to get to the offseason and kind of recharge the batteries. Having said all that, like I mentioned, they put a big dent into Indianapolis' playoff plans on Sunday. They would love nothing more to do that to Tennessee tonight up there in Nashville.
Ryan, how are things between Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone? Coughlin ripped the team when he was on the radio last week. And it's obviously been a disappointing season for Doug. So what's the relationship, and is Marrone in trouble?
I don't think Marrone's in trouble, barring a four-game losing streak at the end of this year. Like, if you finish 4-12 coming off a AFC championship run, I think anything's on the table at that point. I don't have a problem with Doug Marrone. And Nathaniel Hackett's already lost his job. They're going to have to change some offensive philosophies. I think Dave Caldwell could potentially be in trouble. As you guys know, general managers that draft quarterbacks in the top five that don't work, that genuinely is not a good sign for the general manager's long-term future with that organization. If Blake Bortles goes down, which he probably already has, Dave Caldwell may go down with him. But Tom Coughlin, I think if he wants to return, he'll be able to return. I believe at this point Doug Marrone will return. I don't see a complete cleaning house here, at least in that department. As you guys mentioned, there will be a lot of changes with player personnel because there are some salary cap issues for the Jaguars. But, yeah, it was just the perfect storm. You had injury upon injury upon injury. You had Blake Bortles regress back to where he was a couple of years ago. Leonard Fournette missed a lot of time, and this offense was built around Fournette, and the Jaguars could not do anything offensively without 27 in the backfield, which I would say at that point is an indictment of the plan they had coming into 2018.
Did they try to muzzle Jalen Ramsey after he ran his mouth in GQ at the beginning of the season? Because obviously the stuff that he said, there was some payback there.
No, they didn't muzzle Jalen Ramsey. And I'll tell you that, guys, this Jalen, an outside perception of Jalen, I know what a lot of people think about him. I love Jalen Ramsey, and he's a guy that's not been very friendly at times with the Jacksonville media this year. In fact, he blocked a lot of us on Twitter because he was upset at things we were saying during training camp. But in covering Jalen Ramsey and getting to know Jalen Ramsey, I think he's really good for the game. I like players to speak their mind. How many times in the media do we wish players would say what they really feel, and then when they say it, we say, oh, they're talking trash, or they're saying this, that, or the other. If you think Josh Allen's trash in Buffalo and you say it, great, more power to you. If you think Andrew Luck's terrible, if you think Joe Flacco sucks, I think that's wonderful. He said all of it. It gave us so much fodder on sports radio for about the next 2 to 3 months after that. And to Jalen's credit, it's a 4-8 season. It's a terribly disappointing season. Jalen Ramsey's playing really well. Go ask Andrew Luck about that last week. Ramsey did a great job on T.Y. Hilton and shutting down that Colts passing attack. Ramsey had two interceptions against Ben Roethlisberger, even though Pittsburgh came back to win that game in the fourth quarter. So Ramsey, even though the team isn't backing up his mouth, he is backing it up, and I expect Ramsey to have a good game tonight as well.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Guys, anytime. Take care.
All right, we'll see you later. Ryan Green of 1010XL in Jacksonville joining us on the Wake Up Zone, talking Titans and Jags. Again, the game kicks off at 7:20 tonight right here on the Zone. Brian Billick of the NFL Network is up next, so stay with us. We'll visit with the coach in just a moment. First, Blaine's going to tell us about Eurofix, please.
Yes. You ever been irritated trying to get an appointment when your vehicle is acting up? What if you could just drive in with no appointment? We can do that at Eurofix, the home of European automotive repair. They take the irritation out of auto repair with no appointment necessary. Hey, I'm Blaine Bishop here to remind you that if you're disgusted with the way you've been treated for European auto repair, you need to call Eurofix at 844-EUROFIX. Because why? Because they fix every European vehicle known to man. And that's Saab, Volvo, Audi, Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Land Rover, Jaguar, the Mini, BMW, as well as the Volkswagen. Eurofix really specializes in taking the irritation out of auto repair. Like a free 15-minute multi-point visual inspection at no cost, whether or not Eurofix does the repairs. A free loan a car with any repairs so you're never left stranded on the side of the road. And who wants that ever to happen? And all repairs are back with a free 3-year or 36,000-mile nationwide warranty. Never heard that before, except at Eurofix. So give them a call. 844-EUROFIX. They're open Monday through Friday, or you can visit them online at eurofixonline.com. But you better make sure you tell them Blaine sent you, because you want to stop being irritated.